Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power, My Bookie, and Marine Max on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting with my buddy Captain Scott Shank.
That's right.
What's up,
hello.
Bud?
How are you?
I'm good. I guess the only thing I can say is welcome to fall, even though it's 95 degrees.
I don't know if we didn't talk too much about, man, what would we give in August for the first slight northeaster, to come around and get everything started?
Yeah.
Snikes. We've been living on that for the last month.
I know.
And hard, too. I don't mind a little breeze. It's nice out there.
Yeah.
But damn it. I mean, that 15 to 25 knots is about killing us.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Today was gorgeous.
Today was unbelievable. Today was just as pretty as it gets. But I guess being sarcastic, what I'm saying is we're in a fall pattern fishing-wise, mm-hmm. and it's still summer weather.
Mm-hmm. 83.4. Did you see that today?
Yeah, I did. I did. I saw it.
I had 85 in the creeks.
I did, and the thing that kills me is we talked about this last week, and people said, you're crazy. I mean, the mullet run's over. It's been over.
Yep.
It's done. I mean,
anybody can say what they want. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you,
whatever's left are residential fish, there's no run. I saw two tarpon today roll. I didn't even see a fish feed at all.
The jetties, dude, there was a big old knot heads coming around on that incoming tide.
Mullet,
and I said,
yes.
And I said, boys, watch this. Yep. There's about five or six of those schools of the crab
bait/nothing.
Big mullet, and ain't nothing feeding right
there
at
all. It's over.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's which, again, it is the first week of October, and I get it. But I have caught tarpon all the way up until Halloween.
Sure.
And the mullet run.
Well, and it's 83 degrees. It's not like we're down high 70s, 78, 79.
But Scott, I really, the conversation we had, last year was we didn't have any northeast winds.
Nope.
And the mullet run, it started anyway, mm-hmm. and then it just continued and mm-hmm. continued because we didn't have any northeast winds. So the mullet were kind of like going out the inlet, and they're like, oh, let's go back.
Yeah, let's go back in here and relax for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. And all of the mullet that were coming from North Carolina or whatever, they were just taking their time.
There was ocean was pretty.
Yeah, but I mean, since Dorian, we've had nothing but northeast. I mean, hard northeast
and
winds.
Huge tides.
Huge tides. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I had Miles on the boat today. He's a little 8-year-old, hell of a fisherman, really good. He did a great job today. But I told him, I said, son, I said, nothing against it, but if I fish this intercoastal, I said, I appreciate it if you just wear the life jacket, because God forbid if he fell over the side,
I mean,
he'd be 200 yards down the bank before I even lift the trolling motor.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. And we've kind of dealt with that all of this month. And so now you wake up early in the morning, you go buy shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, the last
a lot of them.
The last three or four, yeah. But I will say this about that.
Okay.
It's going to be one hell of a fall of fishing.
I
it is going to be absolutely ridiculous.
We're catching a lot of trout right now.
Yeah,
and,
we're catching.
And it's not even trout season. I mean,
right.
Every trip I've been
right.
on here in the last 10 days, week 10 days, at least you, every day I'm catching one or two or three legal trout.
Right, right. You let this water temperature drop.
Ooh.
4 or 5 degrees.
Ooh, 78, 77.
And we haven't had any rain?
Uh-uh. And that incoming tide water, thank goodness, finally.
Yeah.
Boy, it has gotten absolutely pretty.
Yeah.
Anything from
yeah.
Folks, St. Augustine, Casicola Creek, all the way down to yeah. San Sebastian on an incoming water. Woo. It's not Keys pretty, but it's just a gorgeous green colored
yeah,
water.
I caught 10, 12 rat reds a day, and I was like, here we go.
I caught a snook.
You caught a snook?
A little baby snook all the way up in a Capo Creek.
I'm just telling you that looking at, like, the 15-day forecast this, that, and the other, where there's chances, excuse me, of showers.
Monday and Tuesday looks a little, yeah.
I mean, but showers.
40, 50%, you know? That's what I'm saying, it's showers.
It's not going to be much.
No. Nope.
And this water is going to stay salty and get clear, and
it's going to be
fun
cool
here. Oh yeah,
another 2 weeks, it's going to get fun.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be able to go, like you said, on a 4-hour trip and burn 12 to 15 dozen baits
easily, and then probably have to go to artificials.
Yeah, and then probably have to go to artificials. Yeah, that's the way it's setting up. But it's been so interesting. Like I said, this week, just kind of looking around and. Just thinking of the mullet run of what was it, so many things, again, the jacks. I mean, I've never seen that before. They're always here,
We talked about it last week. That inlet used to be whitewater across it with finger mullet just showering. I mean, it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely incredible. Like you said, the jacks. Probably for me, my biggest disappointment this year has been the flounder.
But
size, not numbers. Size.
Right.
Because this is the time of year right now you should be catching them. And I think where Chip talks about it and all that, where Mayport depends on the shrimp run. At least my eyes.
Right.
Mayport depends on the shrimp run for their flounder run to be good. Where I think ours really depends on the mullet run. That's just me.
Hmm.
Because we don't have the shirt that they have.
Right. Okay, but let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Because I'm trying to learn here. Springtime is when you and I go offshore and catch them.
Correct.
Okay. And then summertime, you fish a lot for flounder. Mm-hmm. And catch a lot of flounder. All right. But everybody that you talk to who really gears up for flounder fishing is this time of year, right?
October through November.
Okay.
This is when you're going to catch your big fish. It's not going to be a lot.
Right.
But you should have some pretty incredible days, of just two or three or four, but you're going to see it where they're 5 to 10 pounds or what.
Right.
I mean, really good fish. I mean, you had an incredible day.
Yeah.
The other day,
week, yeah.
Last week, we touched on that last week. I mean, I had a great year, but it's good to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cause I did have some 30, flounder days I had, but 25 of them were, 11 to 12 inches long.
Right.
Or 11 to 13 inches long.
And you don't feel like that during the summertime? I mean, I don't know how fast those fish grow.
I don't know either. I truly don't. I can't help you on that either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you feel like that's a different school of fish than what's here now?
Well, there's no doubt that my feelings towards it is we do, even though they're all summer flounder
mm-hmm.
that we catch,
mm-hmm.
but we do have like a summer run, a summer flounder, we'll call it.
Right.
And a winter flounder.
Okay.
I mean, because actually the flounders I've been catching lately right now, even though they're like 14 inches, but there was still something to clean on the white. If you asked me to do this back in May, June, early July,
right.
it was...
When you say the white, that's the other side.
The other side of the fish, the white side of the fish.
Right.
I would throw the fish back or, say, hey, the only way we're going to eat this one is if you got to fry them whole, if that's what you want to keep. But I really feel there's kind of, I don't want to say, but I don't know, maybe like two different species. I don't know, kind of subspecies of one another. That might be a winter flounder or a summer flounder.
There's another push coming in from offshore. Maybe. Maybe. Fish. We don't know that.
We don't know that. But I can just tell you that some of the fish that I've been catching lately, even though that they're like I said, they're 14, 15 inches, you know, it's like when you put your hands around them, it's not just your fingers are touching. You actually got some width between your
fingers. Well, you know,
fingers.
Fishing downtown St. John's River with Loggeman, when he's catching those flounder in the St. John's River, it's a different fish, bro. I mean, a 14-inch fish has got two fat fillets on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not those little potato chip dudes, you know?
Right.
So I don't know if it's food or if it's a different fish. But I guess going back to my point, even you're saying you're disappointed, but we're not quite there yet. Let the water cool off.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, I'm still – well, I guess I haven't been able to fish the spots that I'd like to fish this time of year in deeper water for the given fact of the tides haven't been right at all.
Right.
You know, I'm really going to tell you, we've been struggling trying to find what time of day is the best time to go fishing to stay away from it because, as you found out today
– we're at a 6.3, bro.
Dude, I mean, there was – when both you and I stopped at 12:30 today, we had a fish around docks and stuff like that, and water was coming over the bulkheads.
Oh, yeah.
When I got back to the lighthouse boat ramp, I walked in about 2 inches of water down the ramp.
Yeah, no joke. When I put the boat on the trailer at Volano, I had to walk down the ramp.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Instead of up the ramp.
And honest to gosh, Kevin, today was a heck of a lot better than the last 3 days have been.
Right.
I mean, the tide's been way higher than today got.
Right, I got you. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll look at the weather, look at the tides.
Heck yeah.
Simply for the fact that this whole thing's getting ready to change.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to
flippity-flop.
Yeah, flippity-flop. 641-1010, you listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fish Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, I'm Captain Kevin Faber. We'll be right back. I've seen a lot of places, I've been around.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, MyBookie, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
So, we were talking about the forecast before we went to break and why things are going to change. And I honestly, Scott, I think it's changing for the better. I know I want some cold weather because I'm ready to go to the woods. And
I get it.
And take the bow. But on the other hand, we need some cooler water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really do. We need this thing to get down to 75, 76 mm-hmm. degrees. Tonight, south winds 5 to 10. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow. North, northwest 5 to 10, which is, I mean, absolutely nothing. And then Friday night, it's only going to be east-southeast winds 5 to 10 knots, 2 to 4. But here's the deal, folks. You got that cold front coming through. And it's going to turn around, and it's going to get flat ugly. It's going to be one of those days that you're going to be 20, 25 miles offshore, and it's going to be 1 to 2, and you're going to be in your bathing suit. And when that cold front comes through and that wind switches, been there, done that, and will not do it again.
Nope.
It gets ugly.
Nope.
It gets ugly fast. It gets cold.
How about that one in July, dangerous. When we fished the Jacksonville Kingfish Tournament, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
We were actually filling up cups
with the
water coming out of the back of the outboards and stuff like that to put our hands in because we're all in shorts and T-shirts.
My dad had to get in the ocean.
Oh, really?
It was
frigid.
He was
absolutely frigid.
Yeah, it was brutal. And this time of year, not only do you get the rain, but then the temperature drops. You know, I mean, so anyway, just be careful. On that Saturday and then Sunday, it's all inshore because you've got east northeast 15 to 20, and then 15 to 20 on Sunday night, and then Monday it's backing off to 5 to 10, and Tuesday's back up northeast winds 10 to 15. So typical. Here we go fishing windows again.
We talk windows. Yep. That's 2 or 3 days maybe at best, followed by you know 1 or 2 fronts during the week.
Yep. So.
But that being said, though, I'm ready to watch college football on Saturday, so I don't care.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, him?
Oh,
that
Leon,
guy?
Leon's on the line. Okay, let's go
All
talk
right,
to Leon.
Let's go hear about the Bull Reds.
Yeah. Oh, he's been catching Bull Reds?
I guess. I don't know. I don't, yeah.
Leon.
I guess that's what he's been doing.
Hey, I'm just sitting here tying a uni to uni knot. Don't stop on my behalf.
Okay. All right. Have you, Scott said you've been Bull Red fishing. Have you been Bull Red fishing?
I've been doing a little of everything, you know. I mean,
you're just doing a jack of all trades.
You are.
Well, this time of year, I mean, God forbid, unfortunately, we got screwed by all these, the two hurricanes and all these strong winds, and it really screwed up our tarpon bites, so I had to do something different. So, yeah, I did run up the river, and with all these massive tides that we've been dealing with in the valley, and I mean, it has been, you know, 6.2s, 6.3s, and more, so... A couple days, I did come down there, and I did throw the fly and the spin rod on the grass flats and have some successful charters, you know, fishing for tailing redfish. I mean, that was all fine and dandy. I mean, no complaints whatsoever. The fun thing about that is that, you know, you get out there and you have a great day on one particular flat, and you and I both know it can be night and day difference that very next day on that same flat. I mean, where you saw 10 fish, there might be one fish if you're lucky the next day.
I've told you, I mean, I've done that.
How many
enough,
times have you told me? A lot.
Over the years, you can't go back to the same flat.
You
can't go back to the same flat the same year. It's that. I don't know what happens,
Leon. Do they
Leon.
Sniff you, you think?
I don't know,
I mean, is
Scott.
It like a deer sitting there wearing perfume into your tree
but,
stand?
But Leon's done it enough to know that you go up there and you look like a hero. It's like, man, there are redfish and there's sheep's head, and you go back to the dock and you got a charter the next day, and you guys, 2 o'clock, man, this is gonna be, and you sit there and you watch that tide come in and there ain't nothing out there.
Sinking feeling.
It ain't pretty, is it, Leon?
No, it ain't. And I mean, you're like, because you know you got the pre-flood, where sometimes you'll have the redfish get there, you know, they're staging.
Yep.
Get up on that flat, and then you got the flood, and as soon as it turns, they're going to get off that flat, just like you said. But, oh man, that is just such a sinking feeling that I saw 8 fish right over on this one portion of the flat, and you sit there at the pre-flood stage, you get to the flood part of the stage, and you get that sinking feeling in your stomach, and you're like, they're not going to show. This ain't going to happen.
Yep.
And it's just an, oh, God, here we go. Okay, quick thing. Where's the next nearest flat I can get to that's north of me by, let's say, half an hour on the tide, you know?
Yep.
And you start running and gunning, baby. And you see a lot of that with the guys, you know? A lot of those flat boats in Palm Valley, you see them moving fast and hard because they're like, okay, let's get to the next flat.
Yep.
You know? Like
now, that's pretty much all of us right now. With the tide running in about 12 knots, you see a lot of running our boats harder than what we usually run them because,
you're right.
You know, and that was my problem. Real quickly, Leon, that was my problem yesterday. My charter texted me and goes, well, we're just leaving now. We'll be there in about 25 minutes. And so they get to the boat, and I kind of sort of gave them the so-so. I said, guys, I said, the whole reason I told you what time to be here is because I have such a small window.
Yep.
That if I don't get it done literally in 30 or 40 minutes, it probably ain't going to happen.
Right.
You know? And then, so anyhow, got to like 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and I was talking to Captain Rob Bennett, and I said, dude, it's done. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the clock. And I said that, you know, by no disrespect, but to a certain extent, when a captain tells you what time to be there, it ain't just because he wants to get his day done and over with. We do our best to find the best tides and what to fish. And, dude,
it's funny he should say that, Leon, because my boat saw 4,300 RPMs this morning for the first time in a long time.
Oh, I have mine tailing, dude. I mean, I probably should have done that.
I was trying to catch up. I was trying to get up that river and catch that tide.
Yep.
And the interesting thing is, Leon, the first stop caught, I don't know, 12, 14 fish, and it was that last half hour of the outgoing tide, and literally I could see the debris coming back the other way.
All that grass.
And when it got past us, over.
Yep.
It was done. Yep. I mean, isn't that amazingly on as many times as we see that, I was thinking, I thought this morning, maybe, just maybe, as good as they're biting, and a lot of them are rat reds.
They might lull out at the bottom of
it.
And then, but, they, you know, we'll still pick up a few more as soon as the tide turns.
Yeah, yeah, no.
No.
Uh-uh. gone.
Done.
Yeah, I don't know where they go, what they do.
Sunset when you're dove hunting. It's over. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're the
yeah.
It's that's not
right.
going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, that's yeah.
It's
you might as well just try to do something
walk
else.
Walk to the truck.
Yeah, yeah, walk to the truck. Yep.
You're
but
done.
That's been the hardest thing for us this week, Leon. I'm sure, you know, especially up your way. And does it, I guess when these guys are fishing these bull reds, the tides and the amount of water flushing in, you guys have really kind of had to either go to way heavy weights or just quit bull red fishing when the tide starts rolling, right?
Well, to be honest with you, I have not used heavier than an 8-ounce weight this year for two reasons. Number one, I'm working the tides just like I'm working a flood tide. I'm working closer towards the inlet at the beginning of the tide, and when it picks up, and my God, when it picks up, it picks up. I'm running west, and with the Matthews Bridge, I mean, with the St. John's River, you can really run west. I mean, you can run for bull reds further west. You can run all the way to Trout River if you want to for bull reds. And there's certain areas in the river that you can sit there and on your trolling motor spot lock, you won't have a problem whatsoever. But the closer you get to the inlet, you know, it's really going to pick up to the point where you are going to have to anchor down. And God, I hate using the anchor because there's so many things down there that'll grab an anchor and won't give it back.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of that whatsoever.
Yeah, I think Kirk talked about it on the Outdoor Show on Saturday that he had to go to 15 feet of chain.
And like, really?
Like 150 foot of scope.
Really?
And he's fishing
well,
in
you're,
that.
Think about it. You're
Dude,
fishing,
think about it. You got to drop a ball and drag anchor like
yeah.
we do when we go offshore.
Downrigger ball.
Yes.
Huh?
That's what you have to drop, right?
No. I understand
there's
that.
No
but he's
way.
Dropping the orange ball when he goes to pull up the anchor.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way you're going to pull all that line up. You got to drag it.
No.
You got to drag it and shoot the ball down.
It gets that current?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
My anchor, I don't think it's ever been out of my boat. Has your anchor ever been out of your boat?
No. I'll pick up half.
Have you ever pulled your anchor out yet? Mine's still in plastic.
My anchor is still in plastic.
That's
after
what I'm getting
3 years.
Mine's still in plastic, too.
Yeah. Yeah. The spool that I have is in plastic.
Yeah. No. I'm saying it's still wrapped up with the zippy tie around.
Whenever you buy
it from West Marine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely it is.
Because I can promise you, once that trolling motor goes boom, I go, folks, we've had a nice day now. It's time to go to the house. Because, I'm getting my trolling motor fixed.
Yeah.
Two, I don't care anymore because I need my trolling motor.
And I did the same thing. I had like 30 minutes to go, and I was tarpon fishing. This is last week, Leon.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that, and I was on 10.
Most of the time, until you're bored.
Feel it through the boat. When she's running hard.
Vibrating.
Yep. And I thought, I'm pushing this thing a little bit. I heard pop.
Yep.
And I went, up.
There went the breaker.
Yep. So I said, guys, we've had a good day.
Did a good day.
Yep.
Time get off my boat because I got to go get my trolling motor fixed for tomorrow.
I did. I went right straight to Whalen Bay. And they had to put both a male and a female plug in.
Yep.
Speaking of
that.
Yeah,
there's been some good reds to be caught
up
at the river. I will say this. I know damn good and well there are some big sharks up there also. I had a big shark take a bull next to the boat 2 days ago. That was quite an experience that I do not want to relive. And I went out to Strike Zone today and bought a really big cobia neck.
Good for you.
No more hands are going into that water. There's just no way I'm going to take a chance on that after what I had happened. So,
look, Leon, let me ask you and Scott something on our trolling motors, going back to that. And by the way, I've been there, done that on the sharks. If you're in a lot of current, and let's just say that you're either bull red fishing or tarpon fishing, you know, you know the fish are there and you're in a lot of current, and you look at your remote control and it's bouncing between 8 and 10. I mean, it's burning it up. How long do you go with that?
Maybe
you're
going to
ask me that,
max.
And I know darn good and well the fish are there? I'm going to have to tell
you,
I got to pull off because that trolling motor is worth more to me than that fish is.
That's right. I agree. That motor is going – I'll last for just a little bit longer than you guys because my boat is lighter.
That's true.
It's not as heavy of a pull. But for you guys, man – That motor's going to say, screw you, I'm done. It will. And those are $2,000 a piece.
Yeah.
So I'm not in the mood to lose a motor. I mean, I hate to say it, but guess what? There's other places I can go to catch fish.
Right, right. I mean, I get that. I get that. So just for people who are out there and what's the max that you're going to sit there on?
Seven. Six to seven.
When I sit there and I start to hear my motor, when I start to hear my motor running, I'm moving. And that means she's up there between 8 and 9, okay? And yeah. Anything up to that, I'm fine because I'm running a 1,300-pound boat versus your 3,000. And when I can stay, I know you have to move where I can stay, you know what I'm saying, because of the weight issue. But once it starts to get up to that, when I can start hearing her talk, I know she's hurting, you know? Yeah. She's breathing too damn hard, and I'm like, okay, we got to move.
When you hear that thing come on and go, woo, woo, trying to catch up, and, you know, a gust of wind or a tide, you know, a burst of tide or something real quick, and you hear her going to overdrive to get up, I mean, I don't tarpon fish as much as you do in, in the conditions that you do, but I will fish that jetty as hard as I can. And honestly, truthfully, there's plenty of times that I won't even put a bait on the hook, and my guys are like, getting all, I said, sit back down. Just relax for a second. Let me see something.
Right.
That's
I want
right.
to see how fast that thing's going to drift down there, even though the tide doesn't look like it's pushing like today. Because of it, if this was a normal high tide at our jetties, there was no way in heck I could have been out there when I was out there fishing. There's no way. But because of the tide being so high, it was breaking over both the inlet side and the beach side. Mm-hmm. So it was considering a whirlpool the last 150 yards of it.
Right.
So literally the boat, poor trolling motor was doing the because it was getting caught in little whirlpools all the time that was coming
which
off.
Which is better than sitting there
which
smoking.
Is way better off because, I mean, I looked at it, I was running like a 5.
Right, right, okay.
That's not
and
bad.
I
was just curious, because I smoked mine, you know, the plugs last week, and it's because I was on a tarpon bite and I was fired up and
and
I forgot about it and you know, then you hear the pop and you're like, oh,
call makes a call. Man. I mean, you know, it's you know, whatever you feel it's necessary to do it. I just know that it's gonna, for the most part, tarpon fishing's way it's different because, you know, that's just like you're back trolling. I mean, you're not going any faster back trolling than what that trolling motor's running.
Right.
So
right.
you know, and it's looking more natural. But if I get a tide like that, even underneath a dock, I mean, I got smoked a couple days underneath docks this week. I mean, where a 3/8-ounce jig head in 4 feet of water wasn't even freaking holding. It was like, okay, let's, you know, kind of move, you know.
And you're right. It's different situations because tarpon and bull reds, they're going to dig that kind of tide.
They love that because the mullet are passing by.
Yeah, but if I'm fishing with a 1/4-ounce jig head or 3/8-ounce jig head, Leon, and it ain't going to the bottom and they're not going to bite anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so all right, Leo, we got to run.
You can't put it in the strike zone long enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
All right, guys.
See you in the morning.
Have a great evening. Yes, you will. Bye.
All right, bye.
See you. 641-1010, 641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Kevin Favor, Captain Scott Shank. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, MyBookie, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. As usual, my good buddy Captain Kevin Favor and myself are on Thursday nights from 8 to 9.
Yes.
Because you on 1010XL. Yep. And because I was driving up here tonight and the phone goes, ding, ding. Kevin goes, who is it? I said, don't worry, that's reminding Leon we're on tonight. And it was when you said, like, 7:22. And I said, I'm not responding because he knows I'll be there in just a minute.
Hey, I know we need to bring Chip up here. In defense, Chip, of you and Leon, earlier this week, Scott's like, we are on Thursday night, right? I'm like, yeah, we're on Thursday night.
I just do it 4 days in advance so I don't get yelled at like the night before.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't mean to choke you up there, buddy.
Okay? Oh yeah, I'm back to life. I came back to life this week. I was just laughing because it's always like I'm like, hey Leon, you know the radio show's tonight, right? And then an hour later, hey Leon, you know the radio show's tonight, right?
And then Kevin or I usually send the text out about 7:30.
Yeah.
See you at 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I tell you, you were talking about flounder earlier. My brother had a heck of a bite today north of Pine Island. They had eight over 4 pounds.
Really?
And
really?
Some really nice reds, yeah.
In the ditch? Wow.
You know, they were way back in the creeks in some holes. Oh. And he said about 80% of his fish came on artificial today. So I was really surprised about that. Happy, but I know where he was. So yeah. I might have to slip back there and check it out. But
well, those eight are gone. You might have to find the new guys coming in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep, actually I will, I'm sure. But it's one of those spots, you know how it is, you got some holes back in creeks that, you know, when the tide dumps out, it was the last hour and a half of the outgoing tide. They just got on a hell of a bite. Caught a lot of reds out of the same spot. They didn't move for like 2 hours.
So damn.
Yeah.
Where was that at? Because Lord only knows I needed that this morning.
No kidding.
I got two bites for like the first 3.5 hours.
Yeah, so.
It was bad for me today.
I made him pin drop it for me. So.
Good.
Nice. So, when is our flounder fillets going to get pin dropped to Redfish Drive?
Yeah, that gun.
Right?
Eight flounders. Yeah. We can hurt a couple of them
eight,
for you.
8 4-pounders?
Yeah. Hell, yeah, that's a lot of meat right there.
Yeah.
They caught a lot of different fish, too. He said they threw back a lot of fish, too.
Kind of like camp meat.
One of those spots, you know. And this is the time, you know, when we went up at Beach Boulevard. I had a nice one up around Beach Boulevard the other day, too, and some nice reds. And I kept two bonnet heads, filleted them out for my clients, and they called me back and loved them. So...
You know what? I've heard that enough now that I'm going to try one.
Are you really? You're going to break down?
Absolutely.
Okay. I haven't
got to that point
of life yet.
They're super easy to play. Beautiful white meat. Just absolutely fantastic. So they were really excited about it. I'm like, we're keeping those. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah. These are great to eat. The meat's beautiful. I mean, it looks like trout. You know, that clean, real pretty white meat. So. And they called me back and said they loved them. I was like, awesome. You can only keep two per boat. It's one. The bag limit's one, two per vessel.
Okay.
So, yeah, they were perfect size, too. So, like, two big redfish fillets off each one. I was excited about that. We caught some reds and a lot of small fish again up around Beach Boulevard, but the bite was real strong, so we were happy with that. Lots of little jacks and smaller trout.
It sounds like the same bite I had today. I had a lot of I threw a lot of float rigs, you know, and we caught a lot of jacks. Caught some trout, caught some mangrove snapper, and a lot of rat reds. And you know what? I'm good with it.
Boy, did you see that? I mean, I caught two of them today underneath the dock where you see me at.
Yep.
And dude, they were like 13 inches, 14 inches.
Snappers?
Like, no. Redfish.
Oh, redfish, really?
Little, tiny little jokers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I said, look, that one's still got his pinky in his mouth. I said, look, that one's got milk dribble down his chin. I was like, dang. I was trying to be all nice to him and told him I'll see him again soon. Yeah,
absolutely. Not going to be nice to him next
no,
time.
No, next time might be a different story.
Next time, yeah, when they're grown, it won't be that way.
Yeah.
So, Chip, just out of curiosity, around Beach Boulevard, places like that, what do you see on bait?
You know, it's funny because when I fished Monday there, I didn't see any bait. And actually, I had to use cut bait later in the day because we ran out of shrimp. We went through 8 dozen shrimp in about 2 hours, and I had to use some cut bait to actually catch fish, but I couldn't find mullet anywhere. I mean, I looked and looked and looked, and they, you know, and then we got the chop on the water with the wind picked up.
Yeah.
And you can't see them to begin with. But, you know, instead of wasting time, I told him, I said, we'll use cut bait. It didn't matter. I mean, they eat cut bait just as well as shrimp. So they've got the feed bag on right now. But, you know, so, but yeah,
because,
I didn't see the bait at all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously fished the last 30 minutes of the outgoing tide this morning, and, I mean, there was some bait around, you know, but it wasn't,
I saw a few schools, but that one spot that I caught bait at, for this morning. That was
yep.
like the Holy Grails. Like, yeah. wow, why are they all pinned in right there?
I mean,
you know.
I know.
That was a pretty cool little spot right there.
That's a good spot.
Yeah.
I knew exactly where you were, too. So, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, Chip. I mean, it's simple fact. We're in a fall pattern. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt. The temperature's going to drop starting this weekend. Water temperature's going to drop. And, you know, but even though we still have 82 degrees of water and it's 95 degrees or whatever outside, these fish and the bait are in a total fall mm-hmm. mood. I mean, that's all I can say. That's, you know, we're fishing creeks and the ditch and, you know, fishing around the bridges and stuff like that. It's just kind of eh.
Hey, but I do want to ask Chip, because yep. he flounder fishes as much as uh-huh. I do, and I think he cares for it just as much as I do. Chip, two different, even though they're all called southern flounder or summer flounder, do you feel as though that there's two different, like a different subspecies?
I think so. Because
this wintertime?
If you look at the flounder we catch in the summertime, they're narrow. They're not wide.
That's thank you very much.
And
thank
thick.
You. Yep.
They're usually thick.
Yep.
You know, the smaller fish usually have more meat on them in the summertime, it seems like, when you catch those fish. And then it looks like in the fall we get those big wide flounder. I don't know exactly. I need to start taking pictures and comparing them. But
yeah,
And it's funny because right now the flounder bite is really really good up north, but there's a lot of small fish, of small fish. So
you know what I caught a lot this week of, Chip, is gulf flounder.
Really?
I caught quite a few three spots this week. Sure did.
Really?
Yep. Wow. Sure have.
What'd you say, gulf?
Gulf flounder. They're just a lighter color, and they actually have three spots on them. They're triangular. If you ever catch them, they're going to have one big brown spot on each side and another one dead center by the bottom of their tail.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's called three-spot flounder. I call them three spots or gulf flounder. And they don't get that big. If you catch one like 17 inches, mount him. He's a trophy.
Okay.
But normally, their sizes are 11 inches. But, I mean, you're not going to keep anything that big. But I'm still – what I'm getting
really,
at is –
they have a different limit?
Yeah. They're 11 inches, not 12, on a gulf flounder.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Different subspecies.
Wow.
Sorry, I got to look that up.
All right, look it up.
Yeah, I
am. I'm telling you, they don't get any bigger than like 16 inches. Anyhow, my point of what I'm trying to get is the gulf flounders, they're almost like a family of a sole. They're a lot wider, at least what I see, you know. Mm-hmm. They're more rounder.
They're rounder.
And the meat on them is really, really white, like the ones we catch offshore. And, I mean, a thick little fish. I mean, a 14-inch fish right now is, you know, you actually get a pretty generous fillet off of both sides on a gulf flounder.
Okay.
I'll talk to Chip and you look it up.
Flounder.
Hey, did you guys have a lot of mangroves show up this week?
Yes. Little tiny little chokers,
we did,
too.
As a matter of fact.
Like 8 to 9-inch fish, 8 to 10-inch fish. I mean, I had three legals today, but they were 11 and a half inches.
Yeah, you know? We had a few Monday. They started showing up. You know, you can you know how it is. You can see the bite. You're like, yep, that's a mangrove.
Yep. Oh, no. I mean, like, lately I've had four guys pretty much on the boat every day for the last week, and I start out with like 15 to 17 dozen shrimp, and there's been a couple days because of the tide situations, how high they were, and the time of the day, you know, it was like, man, you know, it's whatever. Low at 6, it's like, man, I don't want to fish till 7 o'clock at night, you know, and put the trailer on at dark. So you start, and just like you're saying, chasing tide, but it's been so daggum high by 8 o'clock, it's like, wow. So you're pitching docks and you're just going through a ton of bait.
So looking at my fish rules, Chip, it just has flounder. It doesn't,
it's called an isosceles flounder. Isosceles or something like that?
Well, I mean, like under grouper, it goes black, coney, gag, goliath, graysby, misty, Nassau, red.
Well, there's all kinds.
Red hide. Exactly. But when you go to the flounder, it just says flounder.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, there's a gulf species.
Gulf.
Gulf. G-U-L-F.
Gulf species of flounder. and they have a different
flounder,
rig.
It'll say Flounder Gulf.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you ever heard of that, Chip?
I know the species. I didn't know they were different on regulations. So
that's cool.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, Google Gulf Flounder.
I will during the break. People want me to Google a little bit.
Well, I mean, people might be interested. Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I talk.
I will. We'll talk about it when we come on break. Yeah, Gulf Flounder. I
swear to gosh.
Damn flounder was a flounder. You know?
Look, it has, like I said, it's going to have a triangular
spot. Most people wouldn't know what a southern kingfish is.
True.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
I mean, or
a northern kingfish.
Or a northern kingfish, yeah.
A.K.A. Whiting.
Whiting, yeah. They're thinking king mackerel.
I forgot I had somebody on the boat the other day. It was from north or something, and he made some comment. There's another name that they called them. Their whiting is like almost a weirder kind of whiting or something, with teeth or something.
Well, the northern whiting have teeth.
Huh? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That was what it must have been. Even though ours have like a little bit, but they said like literally you stick your finger in the mouth, they'll bite you.
Right.
You know? But anyhow.
I tell you one thing, there's a lot of big bull sharks up in the river right now.
Woohoo! Got some down here too.
I saw a spinner shark today come out of the water. I saw tarpon and spinner sharks up in the river, and I didn't see any of that at the jetties.
I know, I didn't either. I told you. That was stupid.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, porpoises galore. You know what I've been catching, though, Chip? I feel like I'm up in Mayport. Dude, I caught a croaker yesterday. I mean, like...
A good one?
A good one. A good one. 15, 16 inches.
Like throw them in a box?
Good one. 15, 16 inches?
Yeah.
Thought it was a little redfish. I had to look at him again to make sure because he didn't, you know, I didn't see a spot. And I went, okay, he's... And then he goes... I'm like, okay, he's going in the box.
Yeah. He's going in the box.
I saw a guy was coming in on Friday of last week. And there was a guy throwing a cast net off the bulkhead at the Vlada ramp.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you fish a lot? And I'm like, well, yeah. And he goes, can you tell me what this is? So I go over there, and he's throwing the net, and it looked down at the bottom of his bucket. Dude, he had one hell of a lobster.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, he did.
Really?
Too. Oh, yeah. I'm like, holy cow. that's a lobster.
Damn. Illegal lobster, you figure? I mean, I know you got a gauge.
I don't even know what legal is.
Well, it's carapace. I don't know, about 4 inches, I think, Chip, somewhere right around there, something like that.
I told him it wasn't. Just for
that,
him to,
I would consider that because that'd probably be a hell of a ticket, right?
But
there.
It was a heck of. I mean, you know, yeah. I was like,
I caught a great grouper at the jetties yesterday too. He's so cute. Cool. He's about that big. He's so cute. But they get that marbly and stuff on them when they're juveniles like that. They're so pretty.
Yeah, they are cool.
They got the just gorgeous marbling on them.
They are cool. All right, Wingo, we got to take a break.
All right, guys.
I'll see you in the morning. Hey, don't forget to pay your hall pass and bring biscuits.
That's
we'll
right.
We'll meet you at the Cove at 7.
Yeah. What he said.
All right, guys. See you.
Right,
standing by.
See you. 641-1010. 641-1010. And that goes for anybody, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anybody,
if you're
coming
come down
here.
Dang
right.
And you see us at Comanche Cove.
We're big fans of chicken biscuits.
Just look at us.
Yeah, like we can really use that.
Yeah. We'll be right back for the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Man, child, such a strange situation. Stopping every 100 miles, calling Baton Rouge.
Red, Nick. The Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Brought to you by Ring Power, My Bookie, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
So I know we've talked a lot about the inshore fishing, and folks, welcome back to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. This is the time of year when we catch a lot of sailfish here, right?
Mm-hmm. Coming up.
It's coming up?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
October, November, December.
Okay. I thought
130 foot of water.
Yeah, I thought it was October. I thought that they were making their way down.
I'm telling the story. It's usually, I believe, October until like around Thanksgiving is like the prime.
Right.
Because then we lose a month.
Right.
Let's just say a fishing. And usually, depending on water temp and what all happens,
yeah.
Then usually December, January, middle of February is your Wahoo stuff.
Your Wahoo stuff.
Yep. And then, like, a few fish are still tricking around, your tunas and all. Wind down, and then you pick up your mahis and stuff like that starting in middle of March.
But I've heard crazy stories in October of sailfish offshore here.
That's what them boys did last year.
That was in the spring.
Was that in the spring?
Yeah, that was in the spring. Yeah.
Feels like it was in
the... Yeah, that was... Okay. Sorry. And that was... That
was the most epic bite of fish I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think it was March. Yeah,
was that
think,
when it was?
Yeah, I think it was in March, and they were running south. That, but that was those fish to the south.
Coming
back this way, and right now everything's... but, you know, again, looking at the forecast, it's going to be just something wonderful to fish in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of northeast wind on Saturday and Sunday, back off on Monday, and then pick back up. But, again, it's that time of year, and it is supposed to cool off. It's supposed
yep.
to... To have a,
we're still going to have some tides and stuff like that. I mean, you'll get your morning time in, but pretty much by lunchtime, it's time for football.
Yeah, yep. And just to reiterate this, folks, watch that weather on Saturday.
Because it'll sucker you in real quick.
It's going to be really beautiful Saturday morning.
Yep. You're going to wake up and go, what in the heck were them two guys talking about?
Yep.
And then about 12:30, 1 o'clock,
yeah, because
she's going to switch hard.
Well, yeah, at this time of year, when it switches, it switches hard
yeah.
and fast.
Right.
It's not
It's not just, okay, well, you in the summertime, you can watch it start, like, clocking around,
right.
let's just say,
right.
and
yeah,
approach.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
And go, okay, we need to go, you know.
Yep.
But right now, when it says northeast, and it might be northwest in the morning,
right.
it's as literally as fast as you can click your fingers.
Yep. Hey, another reminder, folks, the Nimnik Outdoor Show, we will
yeah.
be at the Nocatee
Boat Show.
On Saturday morning from 7 to 10. Obviously, it's 400 South Parkway. Anyway.
We got to find out how to get there, too.
Not that big.
No.
You can find it somewhere. So we're looking forward
to
being there. And I know Whalen Bay is going to be mm-hmm. there. And I want to have Chad on there because the boys at Whalen Bay got a new line of boats.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk about that. And then we'll talk to the guys from Atlantic Coast Marine.
Don't blow that yet.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I've never done a fall boat show before.
No.
You know?
Right.
And it's got to be a great time of year to buy boats, don't you think?
We went down to Daytona that one with them 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Okay.
At the Speedway. At least I did. I went down to the one down there with them that was just last weekend.
Yeah. Folks, thanks for joining us for the Most Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. For Big Country, Captain Scott Shank, I'm Captain Kevin Favor. Y'all have
thanks,
a great
guys.
Weekend. See ya.
See ya.
Nail stacking them bales. I'm down.